Searching for partly sunny skies today and a high of 31. Northwest winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. And tonight on your New Year's Eve, mostly clear, a low of around 20 expected. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in local news on KJAN. The Red Oak Police report the arrest of a Red Oak man on an active warrant for carrying weapons on Friday. At 10:56 p.m., officers arrested 18-year-old Tyler Austin Sowers at the intersection of North 7th and East Corning Streets in Red Oak. Sowers was arrested on an active state of Iowa warrant for unlawful possession of a firearm, an aggravated misdemeanor. Sowers was taken to the Montgomery County Jail and held. The Red Oak Police Department reports a two-vehicle accident occurred on Friday in Red Oak. The accident happened at approximately 2:16 p.m. at the intersection of Hammond Street and 2nd Street. After investigation, it was determined that a 2007 Chevy Avalanche driven by Amber Christine Goranson of Red Oak failed to stop at a stop sign traveling westbound on Hammond Street and struck a 2008 Chevy Aveo driven by 61-year-old Linda Sue Major of Red Oak. A witness stated that he observed the accident and saw that Goranson had failed to stop at the stop sign. No injuries were reported. The Aveo sustained an estimated $4,000 damage and the Avalanche had $800 damage. Goranson was issued a citation for failure to obey a stop sign. The Council Bluffs Police Department is investigating an allegedly illegal deer hunting incident. At around 10:30 a.m. on Friday, representatives with the Union Pacific Railroad contacted the Pottawatomie County Communications Center with regard to trespassers in the 3000 block of 14th Avenue, which is railroad property. The caller advised two suspects had just shot a deer, loaded it into a vehicle, and were in the process of leaving the property. Officers en route to the area located a black Chevy Avalanche near South 35th Street and 11th Avenue, where a traffic stop was conducted. The driver of the vehicle fled on foot, while the passenger remained in the vehicle and was taken into custody. He was identified as 24-year-old Devin W. Donner of Council Bluffs. Donner was cited for criminal trespass and released at the scene, pending further investigation. The second suspect was a white male wearing a hoodie and dark clothing. An on-scene investigation determined the vehicle contained a freshly killed deer carcass in the bed of the truck, along with multiple bow and arrow components inside the cab. There were no firearms in the vehicle. The investigation into the incident continues and was being conducted through a joint effort of the Council Bluffs Police Department, Union Pacific Railroad, and the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. The Clarinda Police Department is investigating a break-in of the Dollar General store in the community. Police Chief Keith Brothers said on Friday that officers responded to an intrusion alarm at the store on Tuesday morning. Upon arrival, officers discovered an exterior wall to the building had been breached. A tactical sweep of the building was conducted, but the intruder had departed prior to officers' arrival. Brothers said a small amount of consumable goods were taken from the store, which also sustained somewhere between $500 and $1,000 of physical damage. The investigation into the burglary is continuing, and officers are pursuing numerous leads. The Cass County Board of Supervisors on Friday approved two professional services agreements with Snyder & Associates Engineers with regard to a lead octane ethanol plant infrastructure, and by a vote of 4-1, a resolution for use of county matching funds amounting to $25,000 to secure an enhanced Iowa grant for Schaumburg Recreation Area campground improvements. Snyder & Associates engineer Tim Tighe was asked to attend the meeting to better explain the breakdown of cost and services with regard to the ethanol plant Graywater Transmission Line project and road paving project. Tighe said the agreements cover the $9,750 cost associated with the study phase for the Graywater project and $158,300 for the study and design phase of the Echo, Buck Creek, and Glacier Road paving project. The total PSA for the roads amounts to $208,950. That includes the full redesign, bid, and construction services. Tighe said everything they've done to date with regard to the Graywater project has been very basic, and there is no firm estimate of the volumes of water or other detailed information available from the ethanol company as to how they want to receive the water from the Atlantic Wastewater Treatment Plant.
So not knowing all those things, what this agreement spells out is to do what we're calling a preliminary report. We're going to actually work with Tim Snyder at the treatment plant, determine the best way to extract the effluent from the plant, how we're going to pump it, and then look at the different routes and determine what routes we think are the best and then we would actually talk to property owners and see what their, you know, kind of how they're feeling about granting easements and what we'd be up against. If we get a hell no, it's not going to happen, then we know that that's probably not going to be a fight we want to get into, but we'll at least approach those folks and see if there's a possibility for those routes.
Once the study is complete, the Board of Supervisors will be presented with more detailed information, including the firm fees for the design phase. Tig said the PSA for the roads paving project is inclusive of a new topographic analysis because the last time a 100% design study was done on those roads was 10 years ago.
The grading, the right-of-way for the curves and everything were acquired. The grading was completed, and the pavement from 83 to the railroad tracks was completed.
Tig said the road has likely changed over the past 10 years with regard to elevation, shoulder conditions, and other factors. Only the profile of the roads may change due to age and wear, but not the design. Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department Director Seth Stashelb told the board his request for a resolution pertaining to the use of county funds was a result of recommended changes to the CAT grant application from the Vision Iowa program manager with regard to the Schaumburg Recreation Area. The program manager recommended the application that was submitted be pulled and revised. The other reason a new application must be submitted along with a resolution for financial commitment from the county is because the Vision Iowa Board was dissolved and a new Enhance Iowa Board was established. If the grant is approved in 2017, it will help to cover phase one of the project, which involves electrical and water hookups to the camping pads, along with a new storm-safe shower and shelter house.
In phase two of the project, we're adding two playgrounds, two 30 by 50 large picnic shelters, an ADA fishing pier, a courtesy dock, and then a drop-in bathroom with just a pit in there, waterless bathroom. And then there was also improved parking on the west entrance with a gravel boat ramp.
The application being submitted in 2017 will specifically pertain to the Phase 1 part of the improvements. The Atlantic City Council will also be asked to approve an updated resolution for $100,000 as part of its commitment to the project. In other news from the Board of Supervisors, two members were recognized on Friday by Board Chair Gaylord Schelling for their years of service to the county. Board members Dwayne McFadden and Chuck Reakin chose not to run for re-election in 2016 and will be replaced by Steve Beyer of Griswold and Steve Green of Atlantic, who were elected in November and will represent the districts 4 and 1, respectively.
Dwayne, this is a certificate of appreciation for 12 years of dedicated service. Cass County Supervisor District 1, awarded the 30th day of December 2016. Mr. Reakin, 26 years of dedicated service as Cass County Supervisor.
It hasn't always been easy, I can tell you that.
The board acknowledged the years of knowledge and experience both men are leaving with and thanked them for helping make some tough decisions in years past. Officials with the Cass County Health System report that Brett Altman, Doctor of Physical Therapy, Master of Business Administration, and Fellow of the American College of Healthcare Executives, will begin as the new CEO of Cass County Health System on Tuesday, January 3rd. A public reception will welcome Mr. Altman and be held on Thursday, January 5th from 10 a.m. until noon at the CCHS atrium, including a visit from the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce ambassadors from 10 to 10:30 a.m. Ned Brown, chairman of the CCMH Board of Trustees, says Mr. Altman has the vision, leadership skills, and industry expertise to continue to move our organization forward. We're excited to have him on board. Altman has served as president and CEO at Skiff Medical Center in Newton for the past 2.5 years. He began his career at Skiff as the director of physical therapy in 1994. Over the past 22 years, he has moved up through the organization, serving as Director of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation, Interim CEO, Clinical Operations Officer, and Chief Operating Officer before becoming CEO in 2014. In a press release, Altman said, "I've loved my career at Skiff, but this opportunity was too good to pass up. Cass County has a fantastic health system that is vital to the community. My family and I are very excited to become part of the Cass County community." Altman also noted the strength of the CCHS staff, saying that I was tremendously impressed with everyone I met, and I can't wait to get started. I'm honored to have the opportunity to help lead CCHS into the future, and I look forward to working together with a very engaged team. That's a look at the latest in state and local news. In your funeral announcements, Thomas Tom Merritt, age 84, of Harlan, died December 24th. Funeral services for Tom Merritt will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Dolores Weisenborn, age 84, of Sac City, died Tuesday at Loring Hospital in Sac City. Funeral services for Dolores Weisenborn will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Sac City. Farber and Ottoman Funeral Home in Sac City has the arrangements. Wilma Embry, age 94, of Atlantic, formerly of the Grant and Griswold areas, died Wednesday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Celebration of Life Memorial Luncheon for Wilma Embry will be held on Sunday at noon at the Griswold Community Center. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Helen Barta, age 105, formerly of Persia, died Wednesday at St. Joseph's Village in David City, Nebraska. A Mass of Christian Burial for Helen Barta will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at St. Mary Our Lady of Fatima Church in Portsmouth. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Irvin Aim, age 92, of Greenfield, died Wednesday at the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. Funeral services for Irvin Aim will be held Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Dorothy R. Peterson, age 91, of Fairview, Tennessee, and formerly of Atlantic, died Thursday in Fairview, Tennessee. Funeral services for Dorothy Peterson will be held on Tuesday at 2 p.m. at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Lewis Chapman, age 91, of Wyota, died Monday at home. Funeral services for Lewis Chapman will be held on Thursday at 10:30 a.m. at the Messina United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has the arrangements. Charlotte Marie Shepherd, age 81, of Walnut, died Thursday at the Avoca Nursing and Rehab Center. Memorial services for Charlotte Marie Shepherd will be held Saturday, January 7th at 10:30 a.m. at First Presbyterian Church in Walnut. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Lauren Scholl, age 75, of Anita, died Thursday at Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. Services for Lauren Scholl are currently pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. Harold Nissen, age 87, of Kimbleton, died Wednesday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Harold Nissen are pending at the OD Funeral Home in Kimbleton. That's a look at the latest in state and local news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.